Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
How much of the Monday Night Football game did you catch last night? Any of it? Some of it?
I saw into the third quarter, and then I turned it off and went to bed. But obviously saw the results this morning, and it was a great win for Denver. We played them last week. They're a pretty good team.
Pretty impressive to be down 24-0, not give up and score 35 unanswered. Of course, Philip Rivers throwing four interceptions and fumbling twice helped the cause out a little bit, too.
Turnovers are always a part of the game. So, you turn it over, the other team has more opportunity to score, and those were a big part of last night's game.
What did you think when Peyton first went to Denver? Do you still think it'll take time that, late in the season when everybody, learns, what he can do and he learns all the receivers around him, that they will be better than they are? They're pretty good now. I mean, as you saw, will they be even tougher in December and maybe in January?
Well, that's what every team hopes. I mean, I think that you go into the season and you have a philosophy of what you want to do, and then you see how it plays out and you make adjustments over the course of the year. And, injuries take a toll on what you do, and scheme takes a toll on what you do. And you try to, as the season goes along, really get to the things that you're doing well. And, when you got a guy like Peyton Manning, who's, always seems to get better as the season goes. I mean, that's why they've always been a good team, why the Colts were always a good team, and why I'm sure Denver will always be a good team, because they always get better when the season goes further along.
Tom, for competitive people like yourself, any loss is a bitter pill to swallow. But comparing loss to loss, what's tougher to take? Getting blown out right at the beginning of the game, and I hearken back to that Baltimore playoff game where they just stormed you right from the beginning, and never being in the ball game, or having it in the palm of your hand and having it slip away like it did in Seattle? Which is tougher to take?
It's hard to say. The other day was obviously very, very frustrating for everybody involved. I mean, we played the kind of game we wanted to play for most of it, and didn't really play well when we needed to there at the end. So, football, you have to be ahead at the end. It doesn't matter if you're leading after the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter. What matters is being ahead at the end. And, we just let one get away from us.
Tom, beside the obvious of not making plays, and we hear that phrase all the time in the locker room, we didn't make enough plays, or we didn't execute. Beyond the obvious, that answer, what is required to close out a game when you have a lead like that? What is required to keep your foot on their neck and hold them down psychologically, in terms of approach, in terms of just the mental approach to the last, 9.5 minutes of a football game?
Well, it's a lot of situational football and understanding, what you need to do as an offense, and then executing. So, I don't think there's any magic formula to making good decisions and making good plays. It's a matter of just doing it. And it's not that we can't do it, because we're up for most of that game. We just we just didn't do it situationally there in the fourth quarter. And it's something that we're going to keep working at, and we're not going to stop trying. We're not going to stop working at it. We're going to work harder at it and see if we can get better at it and make those improvements. So if we're in a situation like this again, then it doesn't come up. But, it's not like it's just, you go to bed and you go, God, next time, sure, I wish we can, pull out the win and then close your eyes and go to sleep and magically it happens. I mean, you got to put work into it, and you got to understand, why these things come up, and everyone individually has to do a better job at their job. So, we come out on the winning end of these games.
Well, what is your feeling when you, at the end of games, obviously you can run the ball to use up the clock, you have to, and you got the Seahawks to use a couple of timeouts. Can you do the same thing by throwing the ball? Do you have to run the ball to get the team to use up the clock, or you kind of go with the, safe, short passes and say, we might get some first downs, but even if we don't, we will use the clock?
I think whatever you choose to do, you just have to do it well. I mean, if you're going to run it, then you got to gain yards running it, and you got to scheme up your best runs and make yards. If you're going to throw it, you got to complete them, whether it's short, intermediate, or deep. You can't, the worst thing to do is, run, throw it three times, and you're off the field in 14 seconds.
Right.
And you punt the ball back to them, and everyone goes, well, why didn't you run the ball? You know, if you run it a few times and gain first downs, I mean, you could chew up 3 or 4 minutes of the clock. So it's really a matter of what, you know, the situation calls for. But, you know, it's something that we talk about, and, you know, we just didn't get it done the other day.
Tom, did what Seattle presented to you defensively dictate that you would only run it 26 times versus 56 passes? Did they make you run it that few a number of times?
Well, I think schematically they're very good against the run and what they choose to do. They have a lot of, you know, heavy fronts, run fronts, and they force you to throw it. And, you know, we threw the ball, 56 times, 58 times. And, you know, we had a lot of production at times, and other times we didn't. So, you know, for the most part, you know, we were doing the right thing in the passing game. I wish I'd have completed more passes. But, you know, the guys were running good routes and getting open, and, you know, we had a lot of chunk plays, and we had moved the ball up and down the field. And, you know, the problem offensively was we didn't score points. And we're, when you're 1 of 6 in the red area, you know, you just, it's, you leave so many points on the board that, you know, you lose by one, but, you know, when you're 1 of 6 in the red area, you're not giving yourself much of a chance to win.
Tom, take us through the final seconds of the first half, and I'm not talking so much about the intentional grounding. We can get to that. In terms of how the decision is made on the sideline, is it Bill and Josh, Josh by himself? Josh says it into your helmet. You agree. You've probably worked on this situationally that you can pull off a play in 5 seconds and still have 1 second left. Take us through that paradigm of the last, you know, minute or so in that first half.
Well, we got the ball, and we completed a couple passes to get to the 3-yard line, but we had to use our timeouts because they were both in bounds. So with no timeouts and 11 seconds, you know, you got to throw the ball in the end zone. And, you know, if you take a sack, obviously you're out of, you know, you can't run your field goal unit on in time to kick the ball or spike the ball. So really you got, you know, you got 2 shots at the end zone. And, the first one was incomplete. And then the second one, when the intentional grounding, you know, I just kind of stepped up into the pocket and threw the ball over the middle, and trying to throw the ball away, there just wasn't, you know, anyone very close to, you know, where I was throwing the ball, and they made the right call.
How many, if there were 5 seconds, would you have kicked the field goal? What's the number?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think 5 seconds is cutting it very, very close. I mean, I didn't really hold the ball long for, you know, on that particular play. I kind of caught it, looked,
right,
stepped up and threw it away, and that was 5 seconds. So, it's not a lot of time. It's a time to make a catch and throw. You know, but they did a good job covering us, and, you know, I got to do a better job, you know, making a better decision with the ball.
Did you think you have time to airmail it over Gronkowski, or was there a place you could have gone? What should you have done?
You know, I just got to find a guy I looked at Wes on the left, and then I came back and looked at Dion, and then I got to throw it probably, you know, near someone's feet.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
Into the ground is the way to go on that?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Did Jason Jones smack to your face on the final play of the third quarter affect your ability to perform in the fourth because your numbers went down after you took the shot in the head?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, it was just, you know, poor execution by myself and, you know, poor fundamentals, and that's you know, that's the cause of it. And certainly, you know, I give Seattle a lot of defense, and I credit them for the way they played. And they're a very good defense. I mean, they came into the game first in pretty much every category. So, you know, they rush the passer, they stop the run, they're good on third down, they're good in the red area. They got, you know, a lot of playmakers, and you know, they made it hard on us. There were really no easy plays out there. We had to earn them.
Hey, how much discipline and self-control did it require on your part not to tell Richard Sherman to go pound sand when he approached you at the end of the game?
I didn't see him at the end of the game. At least I don't think I did. I mean, I was just walking off the field and congratulated some of those guys on the win, and I didn't really see him.
Well, you had to have, Tom, because he tweeted out a picture of him getting in your face, and it's unbelievable because, I mean, he won the game. I assume, you know, he's feeling pretty good, celebrating with his teammates, and he seeks you out. He tweets a picture, and he puts a little caption in there and says, "Are you mad, bro?" I mean, it is one of the more classless things you've ever seen. I guess you, it's all a blur to you now, but you had to want to punch him in the throat. You had to.
I tell you, I didn't see him. I mean, there's 70,000 screaming people, so, you know, one more person that really, I didn't see him. I congratulated, you know, some of their players that I saw, and I said, good game, good luck, and that was it. I didn't see him at all, so,
he says
that's part of football, and
it is.
Everyone's entitled to, you know, what they say or their behavior, or, and, you know, we as Patriots, you know, I've always really, you know, just handled it different ways, but, you know, when you win, I guess you could do whatever you want. So that's just, you know, he's a good player, and they have a very good defense, and, you know, I wish we'd have made some more plays that would have helped us win the game, and, you know, that's kind of the way it is.
Have you ever had a guy do this before? I mean, you played a long time against some great players and some, you know, Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher and, you know, Ed Reed, and, I mean, you've won some and lost some. Have you ever had a guy chase you down after a game just to gloat?
No, I mean, I haven't. But, you know, that's, I mean, look, it's, like I said, everyone handles things differently. And I've played for a few years, and, you know, it's, I really don't care what someone says off the field, or, you know, what matters is how you perform on the field. And, you know, winning is the best cure for everything, and that's always where my focus is.
Was there an ongoing dialogue with him during the game? He indicated, you said to him at some point, I assume when you were up probably 13 points, come see me after the game. And he said that's what motivated him to come see you after the game. Did that conversation take place during the contest?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I certainly wasn't focused on it.
How about what he said? I don't know if you probably haven't read it, but he said the no huddle is a gimmick, and the Patriots are a gimmick team. They're a team. You guys are a one-man show. I mean, on and on. He said the only reason you use no huddle is because you're afraid. not exactly a Belichick-type player, a Patriot-type player. This was after he was through with you, went home, and tweeted this out.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everyone's entitled to their opinion, so... you know, that's whatever, you know, if someone wants to say something about our team or our offense or, you know, whatever someone wants to say, that's their opinion. And we've heard it from other teams before, and, you know, we just try to show up and do our job and, you know, show our opponents respect and try to go out there and earn their respect by playing well.
Hey, Tom, how do long, rangy, tall, 6'2" defensive backs change your approach in terms of ball positioning when you're trying to get into to a wide receiver as opposed to the usual 5'11 corners?
Well, I mean, I think there's you know, they have some very good corners on their team. You know, their whole defensive secondary is very good. And they're all big, and they run well, and they're quick, and they are long arms, and they really force you to make good throws and accurate throws and to run good routes. And you know, the times where we did that, you know, we got open and we completed a lot of balls. So, you know, when we didn't, they take advantage of them. And, you know, they count on a really good pass rush to, you know, with the timing of the plays that they know the ball's got to come out at some point, you know, so they kind of see some routes and they play a lot of zone defense and they, you know, they jump all over guys. So even when you catch it, they're not very far away.
Mm-hmm.
And, they really limit yards after catch, which makes them a very good defense, and you know, they've been doing that all season. It really wasn't just our game, so they've been playing well all year.
Hey, Tom, it's Pete Shepard. How you doing?
Hi, Pete.
How you doing? I wanted to ask you about Brandon Lloyd. We didn't get to see a lot of you two in the preseason, and with the exception of maybe the bomb in the first game that you just missed him on, you guys have been in sync. And are you surprised at his footwork around the sideline? He is amazing at knowing where he is at all times on the field, and just how you two have clicked so early and often in this season.
Yeah, he's phenomenal with his body control and his hand-eye coordination. I mean, that catch he made at the end of the game where he's, you know, a foot from being in bounds was an incredible catch. And the catch against Buffalo for the touchdown was amazing. I mean, he works his butt off. You know, he's really a professionally knows how to get himself prepared. He's very smart. You know, I think from the time that we've met, we've really clicked. So he's really added a different dimension to our offense. And, you know, we're really close on some plays last game that we didn't make, and we're still, you know, I feel like we're continuing to make improvements also. So, you know, I'm excited for, you know, what the rest of the season's going to bring.
You were the first one, I believe, to talk to Wes after he just got crushed.
Laid out.
On that hit. Were you concerned that maybe you might lose him for that game? Because he didn't look good.
Yeah, did you get a good look at that hit?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled. He got drilled. I mean, that's... And, I mean, he's so tough. I mean, there's nobody as tough as Wes. His mental toughness, his physical toughness, I mean, for a guy that's 185, 190 pounds, I mean, he runs over the middle fearlessly and makes play after play after play and, you know, made a ton of plays the other day and was open on a lot more, on a lot of the plays that I didn't throw to him. So he's just, he finds the hole, he knows how to get open. You know, he's so dependable. He's just a great player for us.
I know you have no sympathy for them, but the Jets no longer had Darrelle Revis. Is it a different approach to this game without Revis? Do you not have to go out there and look and say, where's 24 and I have to stay away from him at all times? Or is it, do you approach him the same way?
Well, he's a phenomenal player. I mean, he's as good as a corner as there is in a league and a corner as good as a corner I've faced. So, you know, but their team has always been built around their defense and not really one player. I mean, he's a great player. I certainly don't want to discount them, but they got some other really good players too. And, you know, Antonio Cromartie's a great player, and they got some guys on the D-line that can rush, a solid group of linebackers, a very good secondary with Jeremiah Bell and Laron Landry. So, it's going to be a good challenge for us. I mean, it feels like we're playing good defenses every week, and the Jets are no different. So, you know, we've got to spend a week to get ready for them and, you know, hopefully go out and win it, you know, win a very important game for us.
All right, niceties aside, we'd like to give you the opportunity now to say something completely hostile and inflammatory about Rex Ryan and the Jets to make our week easier going forward, Tom, so have at it. Come on. You hate the Jets, something like that? You can help us out.
I've already been, you know, Coach already told me to keep my mouth shut, so that's what I choose to do. So, I mean, they're... Like I said, what's important is what we say on the field and how we play and perform, and nothing that we say before the game or after the game really matters. And that stuff goes away, but you know, you're going to see that win or loss in the record column for the entire season. So the important thing is to get the win and not waste your time talking about it, how you're going to do it, or what you did. It's to go out and play and to get ready and to prepare, and that's what the great ones do. You know, you win or lose, you got to move on. You can't sit here and, you know, let a loss linger for 3 or 4 days. And you can't celebrate a win for 3 or 4 days, because the league just, you know, it just keeps moving. And you got to prepare. You got to continue to focus on what you need to do and hopefully make improvements as the season goes along. And, you know, we're doing some things better than we did earlier. And obviously there's still room for improvement, but we're only 6 games into the year and we got a lot of football to play.
Was the crowd noise a problem out there for you guys, or was it overrated?
Tell you the truth, I mean, it's loud. There's no question it's loud. But, I mean, we play in a lot of loud environments. So if you can't hear, you can't hear. I mean, that's just the way it goes. It's when we play in the Meadowlands, it's loud. And it's not like there's a lot of communication going on there either. But, you know, they definitely have support. I mean, they stand up the entire game out there, and they cheer, and it's pretty impressive, and I mean, there's no doubt it's a loud environment. So,
you ready for the uncomfortable hypothetical? We haven't had one of those for a couple of weeks.
Of course, I am.
Okay, here we go. Let's just say that one aspect of the team is not holding up its end of the bargain, while the other aspect, special teams and let's say offense, is doing okay. Is there ever a tendency over all your years of playing where one faction of a team looks at the underperforming faction, and there's some resentment sense sets in? Does that ever take place?
Never. I don't think that's what a team's all about. I mean, I think that you as a team support each other and you feed off one another, and all three phases of the football team are important. And, you know, 1 week the offense may perform well, 1 week the defense may perform well, 1 week the special teams may perform well. If everyone performs well together, you're going to win. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If if the offense doesn't play well, the defense needs to play really well, and the special teams need to play well. And you know, we played a team like Seattle where, you know, special teams wise, they have one of the best special teams units in the league, and we played really well against them. And you know, offensively, we had a chance to play really well, but we're 1-6 in the red area. So, you know, the defense never complains about us performing, and certainly we support those guys and everything that they're doing. And you know, we rely on each other. And if we're going to make something special, it's got to be, you know, all 53 guys and coaches supporting each other and depending on each other. And that's what we plan to do. We're not throwing in the towel. I know 3-3 sucks. We all feel, you know, we all feel frustrated and disappointed with where we're at, but you know, we got our entire season ahead of us, and you know, there's no better team to really start, you know, here against than the Jets at 3-3. I mean, everyone's tied in the division, and you know, we got to start performing better, and you know, that's what we hope to do.
All right, last question, Tom. I don't know if you heard. You probably heard or read it somewhere. Someone pointed out to you the CEO of Twitter said the one guy out there who's not on Twitter who he wants to get on Twitter is Tom Brady. I mean, in the whole world, it's you. He'd rather have you than like the Queen or Lindsay Lohan. I don't know.
Justin Bieber.
Is that going to persuade you to take up Twitter, or are you like your coach and have no interest?
Are you guys on Twitter?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
You enjoy it?
Yeah.
You do?
Sure.
Yeah.
it's a little addictive, but I think you'd like it, and God knows, you'd have, like, the day you signed on, you'd have, like, 3 million followers.
I sent Mr. Sherman a message last night. He didn't get back to me, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Sherman's on Twitter.
I have no, I'm really not biased toward it either way, so, I mean, people that are doing it, great. Maybe one day, I never say never, but, you know, obviously the people that are on it, you know, they enjoy it. I mean, a lot of my teammates are on it, so.
I heard Brandon Spikes is on it.
Is Brandon on it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
See, when you're not on Twitter, you don't follow any of that, so.
Yeah. All right, Tom, have a great week of work. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, guys, thanks.